Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers. It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We really haven't talked about the Astros much. They took one on the chin. They got a... How about this series this weekend now? Got a little Mariner. Got a marinade this weekend. Let's go. Seattle coming to town for four. Starting today, they continue this run of no days off, the 17th straight. These are the last four. You got McCullers against Kirby tonight, Gusto against Hancock, Valdez against Wu, and then I don't know what you're doing on Sunday against Castillo, because down goes Blanco. Down goes Blanco. And look at this rotation now. It is...
Not Forrest Whitley.
Forrest Whitley, yeah, he looked great yesterday. He was terrible.
I was hoping he would be
they
better.
They got back to 5-4, and here comes Whitley, and walk. I mean, the dude hasn't pitched in like 17 years, so you can't blame him for being a little bit wild. But what was a six-man rotation, you don't even have five now. What was a six-man rotation, and one of them, Gusto, is who? You're like, really? Now you're counting on Gusto being a mainstay for you now. You don't even have – you're trying to get to a six-man rotation because all these games in a row, and you can barely muster four. That's how bad it's gotten. So this is incredible, the bad luck or the – I don't know. You know, Ricky texted after we fired our – which they didn't fire him. They just didn't renew him. Who Dell calls the butcher of what do you call him? Butcher of Texas Avenue.
What's his name? Our boy.
Yeah.
Pitching coach. The butcher you call the butcher.
The butcher of Bel Air.
Yeah,
the butcher
Strom.
Of Bel Air.
Yeah,
Stromy. Ever since then is when the epidemic started. But I think they would – listen – the spin rate thing is, I think that's the key to everything, is they continue to try to spin as much, and the Astros put such a premise. They love the spin rate so much that I think maybe this is what's causing them to the elbows to have problems. Whatever the case is, it's gotten to a point now that it's just almost ridiculous. It's almost ridiculous how many pitchers they've got down. Another elbow now with Ronel Blanco, for those of you who didn't hear. And the Astros, Hunter Brown just got lit up, but he got lit up in a park that holds 10,000. I mean, they didn't sell out a 10,000-seat stadium yesterday. Of course, it was a day game in Tampa. Would you have sat outside in Houston yesterday to watch a baseball game?
No.
I mean,
what are you talking about?
I mean, in July, I said yesterday, I made a mistake. I said they have six games. They have eight games in July at home, and they have eight games in August at home. Major League Baseball just realized this. They said, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to get people to actually – and how are we not going to kill this baseball team by making them play in Tampa outside in July and August?
Yeah.
And the answer was just go on the road. Just we'll have all road games. And that seems to be the answer for them, because it was ridiculous yesterday, and it's not even June. So, yeah, it's going to be – I don't envy those poor people they had the ones that did show up, and there were Houston people out there.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless you going out there and supporting this team on the road.
With it getting hotter and hotter earlier and earlier from a weather standpoint, I think most new stadiums, other than in the Northeast, I think most new stadiums are going to have serious discussions about retractable roofs. Even if it's because they're multifunctional uses. If you have a retractable roof stadium, you can do, like, I'm assuming, does every town have rodeos too? I'm assuming Kansas City, I'm assuming Miami has their own livestock show and rodeo.
I don't believe so.
Do they have a rodeo also?
They have a Grand Prix.
Does Minnesota have a rodeo also?
I don't know whether they do or not.
Where the Minnesota Bun Bead does stuff? Does he gets his own day? Is there a rodeo for Charlotte, North Carolina somewhere?
I don't know that.
Does Boston have their own rodeo?
Doesn't feel like it.
In Fenway somewhere?
I don't feel like they care about that.
I was assuming everyone else had rodeos too.
And
does everyone have cook-offs?
We're Houston. We have chaps.
I mean, cook-offs are fun, but yeah. I don't know if they determine what a stadium looks like in a certain city.
That has nothing to do with the Astros, so I mean.
Well, yeah, but you need multifunctional stadiums. We have NRG Stadium is retractable. Of course, I guess the baseball stadium is retractable too, obviously. But my point is, even if it's a city that doesn't have a retractable roof and the weather's not like our weather, once you have one, it does allow you to have different events there, concerts and whatnot, where you don't have to worry about rain. So it is it's a lot more expensive, but I wonder if the question is going to start becoming about, you know, the whole process of who's going to pay for stadiums is getting really tricky because basically Chicago's dead. Like Chicago, the Bears are going to move and they'll be in, where is it, Arlington? Arlington Heights? What's it called, John?
Yeah.
That looks Arlington like a done deal that if they're going to get a new stadium, they cannot. It's downtown Chicago's not going to work. You cannot convince cities
too
to
dangerous.
Put any money in anymore.
Too dangerous. You can't do it in downtown Chicago. No chance.
No.
No. I mean, not every night going to downtown Chicago.
Yeah, the Irish and Italians are at war, so you can't have it down there.
Yeah, you cannot do that. The Irish.
There's been a war going on for 100 years, bootlegging and drugs, and the Irish and Italians are back at it again.
Again, yeah. It is it's a war zone down there with the Italians and the Irish. Yep. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, can we mention it's 8:04. We're good right now, Dell, right? We're not over the break. We're good. This is a good time? Okay.
This is a good time.
We just mentioned that an acting owner, one who tweeted at the Indiana Pacers, Jim Irsay, passed away yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was not, you know, most times, first of all, you don't see owners die often at all in any sports while they're actively engaged in owners meetings and things like that. This is a extreme rarity. What's even more rare, I think, is the fact that, I guess that's what's even more rare. You just don't see, this was not something that was, well, he's been sick for a while. No, this just came out of nowhere.
He wasn't at the recent owners meetings, though.
I guess he was a little sick, but it wasn't. There wasn't anything that I heard mentioned that there was anything, you know, like he was in serious trouble. Like I said, he tweeted something about the Indiana Pacers a few hours before the game.
Mm. Oh well,
or several hours before the game, actually, earlier in the day.
But he had been sick, so he's. He's only 65. That hit me. 65.
What hit me is that I thought he was a lot older.
Yeah, he looked a lot older.
Yeah, he's got a really interesting life. When you dig in on him a little bit,
yeah,
man, really, that guy lived a life.
He lived hard. There's no question.
Uh-huh.
He looked it, and apparently his body said, you've lived a hard life, sir. And you know what? He was the owner for 30-some years. His dad passed, I think he took over late 90s or 20-something years.
97.
Whatever. 97.
Yep.
So he was the owner for about 28 years, and he went hard at it. So God bless. He lived a shorter life than I would have expected. It kind of, that kind of caught me. That at 65.
That's well, that means he was an owner at what, 38?
Especially with a guy with money. You would think a guy with money could would be able to live longer, but apparently that money meant he was able to dabble in a lot more things than he should have. So,
yeah, that, he. I mean, he was young when he took over the team. He was in his 30s when he took over his team, and now his daughter, and who's actually she's been active with the team for quite a while. So this is not going to be anything new. He's got his succession plan involves three daughters: Carly, Ursay, Gordon, Casey Foyt, and Kaylin Jackson. But Carly Ursay Gordon is active in the building all the time. So this is, they do have a succession plan in place.
Well, good for, yeah, that's good.
Which one of them is Shiv?
Ursay Gordon.
Oh.
Well, there is no Tom here.
No?
Yeah, there's no Tom. It's just a bunch of Shivs. And she's the one who Ursay Gordon is. I mean, she was she's been a team vice president since 2008.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty locked in.
Yeah, I would imagine.
She's heavily involved. I've talked to people over there about it, and she's good. She's locked in. They really like her. So well, I think it'll be a smooth transition.
The question is, are the children, are they serious people?
We're about to find out. Probably more serious than the dad.
You are not serious people.
I think they're a lot more serious than the, what was their last names?
Roy.
Yeah, the Roys. The Roy's kids. I think the Ursays are probably a lot more serious than the Roy's.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a Kendall.
I don't know. You don't know if there's backstabbing going on. You don't know.
Yeah, women are more serious than men typically.
Yeah.
We're more likely to have the F-ups. Men can be very, very serious. But if you say, man, you don't often hear, like, she's such an F-up. She's running around at strip clubs, doing blow. Like, that sounds like God. What? That sounds like Kendall.
Is that the only way to F up is going to strip clubs?
Oh, no. It's
one of several.
That's one of several, but women aren't typically F ups. You don't usually talk about a daughter in a family being an F up.
To Lance's point, you don't even know who Biden's daughter's name is. You don't even know what Biden's daughter's name is.
I know. You know, Hunter, do you know you knew Billy Carter?
Yep. Yeah, it is true. That is true. No question. Girl, stop.
And Chelsea Clinton, Obama's daughters, never
no
hear
issues,
anything.
No issues, no.
No problems. No problems. No issues. The daughters don't make a lot of – Don Jr., Ivanka pretty much is – yeah, Ivanka's the girl, right? Yeah. You don't hear a lot about her. It's the boys that you always hear, like, oh,
yeah.
I hear a little bit. I hear some things about that one. The girls are always, eh. Women handle their business in silence.
Quite frankly, you should hear more about her than Don Jr.
She made a trip to Philadelphia.
Is this Captain Spinaround talking?
Maybe. But she made a trip to Philly because one of Philly's DBs has a crush on her, made it known publicly. So she on a trip to Philadelphia, she went to the Eagles facility.
Hold up.
He wasn't there.
Does Jared Kushner know this? If she's going to see DBs?
I think it was Eli Ricks.
The way you make it sound is like found out that
Eli Ricks tweeted about her. Because, you know, they went to the White House, and he was like, or have they gone or are they going to go? Either way. He mentioned.
Yeah, they went.
He mentioned how beautiful he thought Ivanka was. On social media, and she, I guess, on a trip to Philly.
Yeah, Ivanka Trump visits Eagles locker room looking for a player who called her beautiful.
Yeah.
Jared.
She left a note. She left a note.
I'm just saying, we could end up, this could end up being on one of those sites that we can't access in Texas.
No. No.
No, I don't think that's it, but how about that? What a nice person.
I know. Yeah, I got it, Lance. Lance just said a word that he won't put out on the air. Thanks. I know. I know what you meant. Either way, Eli Ricks missed out on his chance.
Yeah.
Did he?
Oh, he wasn't there?
I don't think he did. She just made a flight just to go see him.
Well, I don't know if it was just to see him. I'm sure she had business. But
Jared, you don't care if Eli and I go have a drink, do you? Oh,
what
boy.
Are you doing?
That's what Shiv did.
It's true. Shiv did.
That's Shiv behavior right
there. We don't know if they have the same type of marriage that Shiv has.
Exactly.
Well, I don't think Tom wanted her to have that type of marriage.
No, he didn't.
Well, what do you mean? Oh, Tom.
Either way.
You can go do stuff you want to do, too.
She just, hey.
That's Shiv behavior right there.
I appreciate the acknowledgement. I like to say hello. It just was an off day for Eli, so he didn't get to meet her.
Damn, Eli. Go to work.
She did leave a note, though, so she let it be known.
Did it have
there.
A phone number on it?
No.
You don't know.
No, the note maybe was on the back and they didn't flip it over. But on the front side, it was just a nice message saying, I acknowledge that you tweeted about me. I was hoping to see you, so on and so forth.
I cannot imagine what was said in that locker room when they found out that she came in and left him a note. Some ugly, ugly thing.
It is a locker room.
Filthy, yeah. Flarney. Yeah, it's a locker room. Like, you're going to a bunch of questions if he's going to do this or going to do that.
Yeah, he tweeted, Donald Trump daughter's beautiful. Damn. That's what he tweeted.
Oh, nice.
And then she made the trip. And the note, she said, stop by to say hi. Sorry to miss you. Go Birds, Ivanka. And she tweeted that out. And she said, missed you today, Eli.
That's like if Dua Lipa left something in my office.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the?
What the?
I was gone. Dua Lipa left me some kind of empanadas?
Why would she leave you food?
Well, maybe
I don't know,
because
that's my love language.
Empanadas. And she would know. Now she knows that. So
that's my love language. Tamales, empanadas. Not that she's Spanish. She's Persian.
She's Albanian. You might want to learn that about your crush.
Albanian, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, them Albanians. Boy, they can go. Let's break it here.
Doesn't want to meet you.
Yeah. No.
Ooh, they can go. Yeah. Those Albanians can go. First time that's ever been said in radio history. Ooh, now those Albanians, they can go.
Well, if they all look like Dua Lipa, holy crap.
Well, that's pretty good.
There's a place you want to live.
Yeah.
All right, we got a break. Let's talk a little. Maybe you could, well, you've already got a ring for somebody, so that's all.
But
Zadig.
Oh, Zadig Jewelers. Yeah. I saw a picture yesterday, my girl Catherine Ross from Public Content, a PR agency. I was going through the little Instagram, and she had a picture with Amy Zadig. And she was talking about how she loves her. You know, the Zadig family is really well-liked across the city of Houston. They've been involved in a lot of different charitable stuff, a lot of social events, it's a name that's been synonymous with jewelry here for over 40 years and continues to be family-owned and operated. Zadig Jewelry is 28,000 square feet. And it's the largest you're going to find anywhere. 1801 Post Oak Boulevard is the location. They own that building. They've got Uchi right there. So if you're stopping in and having some sushi, why don't you walk right into Zadig and just check them out for yourself? Because Zadig Jewelers, they've got something for everyone. They have got every type of gift that you can imagine when it comes to jewelry. And they've got experts in there to help you stay inside your budget if that's what you're looking for. Or if you're looking for a specific design, if you're looking for something to show her thanks for the baby that you guys just had. Or maybe it's an anniversary, a 10 or 20 year anniversary. You want to do something special or a birthday. It doesn't matter because they have experts who can help you find it, from luxury watches to tennis bracelets to diamond earrings, pendant, and, of course, engagement rings, where they are the best in the business. Synonymous with the top jeweler in the city of Houston for over 40 years is Zadig Jewelers, Zadig.com, or head on down to 1801 Post Oak Boulevard.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780. We had a bunch of calls yesterday. Of course, we had our racism show, and we had a lot of people chime in about racism yesterday. That seems to stir. That stirs the blood. It makes people push the buttons. The Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese deal.
Might be happy to know we didn't get to the call because he hung up. But we had a call from the light skin delegation. He just didn't hang on.
Light skin did one.
I did not see it. Call back in.
I imagine the delegation because of Halliburton.
Needs,
I think
after but. Halliburton's basket, the delegation needs to call back in.
Yeah.
I mean, we already have a spokesman on here on the other side every day.
Not every day.
Why does he catch light-skinned more than like, Steph?
Because he's probably more annoying than Steph to the players, I guess.
Is he?
Well, I think Steph caught it a lot for a long time from fans, maybe more than players.
Yeah.
Steph's an all-time assassin. Like, what are you going to say about somebody who will just
Tyrese
completely wreck
one.
You? Well, he's, you know, he's starting to do some things, but, I mean, Steph has championships.
Look, Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers themselves, they were known coming into this playoff run as front runners, where they did all their talking when they had the lead, and they were silent when things weren't going their way. And you know what Michael Jordan said, his famous line about a real man will talk when they're down. I don't really take into account what someone says when they're up. So that was kind of the Pacers' MO, and people didn't like it. You guys are annoying. You guys never want anything, and when you are leading, you got something to say. But when you're not, there's nothing. You got nothing to say.
That is kind of annoying. That's when you know you got a dangerous one, is the guys who stay either quiet the whole time or the guys who let you know the whole time. I mean, that's when you know you got – I have a friend like that, Rodney Williams, is like – he will say this. I remember we were on a – this is a separate story. I've told this to my sons. We were on a playground back when I was 24. We played ball together. He played college ball at TLC, at Texas Lutheran, and we played high school ball together. And we went out to this park over off of – I used to live in these ratty apartments called the Mansions on Hammerley, and they were not mansions. But we went to this park over there. It's actually right next to my disc golf course, Agnes Moffat now. And it was a bit of a rough run, but he and I were out there, and I'm just like, ooh, I don't know, man. And Rodney is, from the very jump, is calling guys Charmin, saying they're soft as Charmin, weak as ice water. I'm like, we don't know these guys, right? You can't be saying this. He didn't stop the whole time. Down or up, I'm just like, why am I going to get stabbed or shot out here over a pickup basketball game with a bunch of dudes I don't know? And after the game, nothing. They loved him. All the respect in the world, because he kept that same energy from jump ball to the end of three games. And that's when I realized, man, if you really live it, if you are all in and committed, as long as you don't cross certain lines, you can't cross certain lines. There's a respect for that kind of stuff. I want to ask you guys this. We've now seen two 20-point leads that evaporated from the Celtics against the Knicks. We saw a 14-point lead evaporate from the Celtics against the Knicks. We've seen a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter evaporate from the Knicks against the Pacers. And then I know we had some in the West. I know it happened in the West too. But those are the four in the East that just come to mind. What's the discussion like? What do we need to be talking about here? Because obviously, is it the style of play? John, you've mentioned this before. You keep shooting those threes. Is this early offense allowing the is everyone so locked in and getting a shot in the first 15 seconds that they're not taking enough time off the clock? From a numbers standpoint, Daryl Morey had all these calculations and would say, you know, if you're up by 10 points with 10 minutes, you're going to win at over an 88% clip. And if you're up by 10 points with 8 minutes, you win at an even higher clip. And they had all these numbers. This entire playoffs is blowing that to shreds. And at some point, from a time standpoint, you just don't have enough. You shouldn't have enough time. Is the early offense, the desire to get the ball up quickly, is this killing teams with big leads? Is it just settling for the threes? What is it that's allowing teams to come back from deficits that is unheard of, and yet it's happening multiple times in these playoffs?
Yeah, the NBA is and like no other sport, is a game of runs. The NBA is, I mean, college isn't even, it is a game of runs. And I think that were the Knicks throwing up threes early in the shot clock when they were up by 17?
I mean, some of it is just the three-pointer gets you back in quicker, of course.
Aaron Neesmith.
That's it. And when Neesmith went off, I mean, holy crap.
Was it most?
You couldn't stop him.
Most threes in the fourth quarter of a conference finals game ever? I think that's what the stat is. Six threes he made. How do you account for
incredible.
That guy doing that in that moment?
No, you can't. You can't. He was just on fire. And then everybody gets pumped up defensively. You get a tip ball. You get a ball goes out of bounds. And it's just a snowball. And then it's just, you just can't stop it. You can call all the timeouts you want, but you maybe get a missed call here or there. they're poking it, they're trying to get the ball away from you on the drives, and you're not getting the referee calls, whatever. Jalen Brunson looked like he couldn't have been more frustrated. Could not have been more frustrated towards the end of that game. It was, it's incredible what these runs that Indiana's going on. And the Knicks went on against Boston. You're right. I think this is the NBA right now, is that you've got such good shooters that when it starts to get out of control, then you can't stop it.
Yeah, but I feel like there's still a way to be better closers. I feel like there's better closers. I mean, some of it is being able to, you know, one of the things that I always thought was incredible about the old school Utah Jazz with Stockton and Malone is you could give them 6 seconds on a shot clock and they could get to a good shot because they had a phenomenal understanding of how to run a pick and roll, and they created four options off the pick and roll. Like, they knew Stockton was able to get into a good shot. Fred VanVleet does not get them into a good shot. When the ball's in Fred VanVleet's hands too much, you know, A, he's not going to pass, and he's about to take a bad shot. I think the ability to get a good shot with 8 seconds or less on the shot clock to create a good shot is an art form, because you get a kill off 16 seconds in the shot clock, which is huge.
And I feel like that was a downfall.
Yeah,
it was a downfall of the Rockets.
Of the Rockets, yes.
It was a downfall of the Rockets.
So I'm looking at the final three and a half minutes or so when the Pacers were down 14. Now, the Knicks missed the free throw by Brunson, but Brunson made a three with about 5 seconds or so, if I'm just going by the last Pacer shot to a Knicks shot.
Yeah.
And then, again, Towns shot a three and missed it, probably about with 19 seconds off the shot clock. So they were not jacking up shots early. They did miss free throws that gave the Pacers a chance because Nesmith kept knocking down threes. But the Knicks were taking their time, relatively speaking. It wasn't like quick shots, bad shots, what are you guys doing? It was just the small mistakes they did make, like a turnover here or a missed free throw there, were taken advantage of because Nesmith could not miss.
Yeah.
So the Knicks didn't go scoreless in that stretch. They played a relatively, let's say, average last 3 minutes. It was just the Pacers were spectacular, and any mistake they made was capitalized on. So I don't think the Knicks are going to get – well, they lost, so they're going to get crushed. But I don't think their handling of the last 3.5 minutes was a conversation at all, because I don't think you can, like, point to anything other than, hey, if you don't miss your free throws – Halliburton doesn't have a chance.
Yeah, making free throws is how you close games.
It's huge.
I mean, honestly, making free throws and getting good shots in the last 8 seconds of a shot clock. But this is one game we're talking about. This is unheard of to lose leads by 14 or more four times in a playoffs, where the road team, and every one of those times it's been road team winning, right? I think because Boston screwed up twice.
Boston was at home. Yeah,
Boston's two were at home, and then the 14-point lead that they had that they blew. I can't remember if that was at home or not. But these are all happening at home too. It's crazy. There's got to be an explanation. I bet if you really look and dug in on it, I'm sure missed free throws are a big one, and being in the bonus and letting the other team get to the free throw line because of a stupid foul, where they're scoring points without the clock moving. That's obviously a huge one.
Yeah. All right. 713-780-3776. We right now are into the meat and, well, the highlight of the big Texas Card House Atlas Poker Series. That's a mouthful. So what is that about? Well, there's $300,000 on the line, $300,000 that you can get a piece of if you go get on over to Texas Card House. Texas Card House has the biggest events in this city. I don't know when it's going to get, you know, another 300,000. I'm sure there will be some more, but this is huge. This is huge. And if you're looking for a great way to get in on that money, let's go. Get to Texas Card House. If you don't like to play live poker, you got hijack poker, and you could go to Texas Card House and deposit the money. Maybe you can't use your credit cards to deposit the money. You can go to Texas Card House on Westheimer in Green Ridge or up in Spring, and you can deposit the cash or whatever you want up there. and do that live if you don't like to be around people. But if you like to be around people, if you love to play poker, Texas Card House is the premier facility now in the city of Houston. Well, in the entire state. They're in Austin. They're in Dallas. They're everywhere. And it is just getting bigger and bigger. And it's the biggest that they've been right now. So if you're looking for a game, Westheimer and Green Ridge, you want a piece of that $300,000 that's up for grabs right now at TexasCardHouse.com. TexasCardHouse.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got a couple of callers in here. I forget who the first one was, Del. Who is it? Biscuit. That's right. Biscuit is on the line. Let's get Biscuit in here. What do you say, Biscuit?
Hey, what's happening, my brother? Man, I don't know about you guys, man. The first thing after watching that game last night, I think I saw the T-Mac at the Summit against the Spurs. I don't know if you remember that, Lance.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Oh, yeah. It was 8 points. But the thing is, Lance, you asked the question. The thing is all you have to do is play some defense. Play some defense. Them shots that old boy was getting, he was wide open. Like, what the world? It's nowadays, Lance, it's the basketball IQ. I hate to sound like the old man, but it's the basketball IQ, man. Block out on a free throw. Remember Cleveland? Block out on a free throw.
Yeah.
Simple stuff. You know what I mean? And these guys, they just, they so up into making, you know, making antics toward the crowd and doing this and that, and they forget about the game. It ain't over till it's over. You know, but these youngsters, man,
it's funny,
they get caught up.
You think of a Tom Thibodeau team, and you would think that they'd be more disciplined. But, yeah, and same thing with Ime. I thought the Rockets gave up way too many open three-point looks at times to the Golden State Warriors. I mean, they always knew where Steph was, which was great, but I didn't really think they flowed very well from a team defense standpoint in terms of, you know, understanding where other guys were on the court. They had just way too many open three looks, and it's not because they're not a good defensive team. They are. They just, I think they were so focused on Steph that some of the other defensive stuff broke down, and you just can't have that happen.
Communications. Me miscommunicate. Watch some of them clips last night at the Pacers. Two guys running to one guy, and here got wide open. Like, come on, man, you can't do this. But yeah. It's entertaining, though. I give them that. It's entertaining.
Yeah, it's been an entertaining playoffs.
Yeah, it has been. That was fun. That was a fun game last night. Incredible. That was just unbelievable, and it couldn't be better because Nick Van is about as big an a-hole. Did you see the guy leaving the arena in the Pacers jersey, and they're all just throwing stuff at him and hitting him? And I mean, talk about
it. Brian Windhorst?
No, not Brian Windhorst. It looked like Brian Windhorst, though.
Well, that guy, that was during game 6 of the Boston series.
Yeah, there was a guy that was leaving, and actually, Halliburton invited him to game 4 in this series.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to come to game 4. He was wearing a net. But what a bunch of a-holes. Just, I mean, you deserve what you get. I hope they lose this series now because of that. And you can't be worse people that just because some guy's wearing the opposing team, they're rooting for the opposing team, that you're hitting them and throwing stuff. I mean, you're just bad people.
So this guy, I don't know if he was in the arena or was around the arena for game 6. He was in his Halliburton jersey. Yeah. I don't know. Not that it matters what was said. I don't know what the provocation was other than their a-hole Nick fans. But like you said, they put their hands on him a little bit. Were obviously yelling at him, all the stuff. And yeah, I was conflicted in the previous series, because I hate Boston sports teams, I don't like Knicks fans, so I didn't know who to go for until I watched the game and thought to myself, I don't want to see the Celtics win. I don't want Boston media to win. Let's go Knicks. But now?
No.
Now? I don't want the Knicks fans to enjoy anything. I want them at a point where, oh, we got the Pacers coming in. We're definitely going to the finals, which is their belief. They believe they're going to the finals now, and I want it ripped away from them. And great start last night. Agonizing way to lose. This is what I'm looking for.
That's great. I love an agonizing way to lose for a-holes. I love that. It's sad that Philadelphia got rewarded and Ohio State got rewarded last year.
Yeah, we can't have Knicks fans winning in 20. No. Like the Buckeyes fans won in 2025. That's when the title. It's a 2024 title, but it was won in 2025. Philadelphia won in 2025. We can't have the Knicks winning
Indiana
in 2025.
Indiana fans are fine. Indiana fans are harmless.
Well, ask Chicago Sky fans about Indiana fans.
Well, I don't know. Are those Indiana fans?
Who,
or are you talking
who knows,
about
but that's the conversation.
Offline Haley or Clark at the fans. Game? At the game, you're
going to But Pacer fans appear to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I think some of the Caitlin fans are not necessarily Pacer fans.
Or Fever fans.
Just like some of the LeBron fans were not Cav fans. They were not Heat fans. They're not Laker fans. They're just fans of one person.
They're good Heartland, I think more solid, middle of the country, Vanessa Richardson type people. Okay,
well,
that's what they are.
Some of them. If you ask some of the NBA players who've played in Indiana, they wouldn't have the same. The opponents who have played.
I haven't heard that about Rockets. Have you ever seen it get nasty with Rockets fans? I think Rockets fans are pretty respectful.
What happened? Was it Russell Westbrook? What play?
Oh,
where the phone got slapped out of his hand?
Well, he didn't like somebody was recording him
remember.
And trying to say, talk to Russ. Russ has been sensitive forever.
Yeah, but Russ,
he's a point to get guys kicked out guy.
Yeah,
all the time.
Yep.
I don't think it was over the top. Now he said Utah said, oh no, it was the Undertaker's brother or whatever. Remember? No, it was somebody's brother, a football player. Yeah, that was in Utah. Where the fan? Remember, the fan got banned for life for saying something to Russell Westbrook.
Well, we know Jazz fans are awful.
Well, yeah, Jazz fans are horrific.
Yeah, but we don't like Jazz fans. They're like Indiana Fever fans.
A lawsuit against the Utah Jazz by a fan who was banned for life from the team's arena over what were called racial taunts directed at Russell Westbrook was dismissed by a judge. So I guess he's banned for life. But that I remember that guy is like either a football player or a wrestler's brother. It was
his name is Shane.
Oh, Kiesel. Yeah, Brett Kiesel. Remember him?
That was his brother.
A Steeler. Yeah, said there was nothing racial about his heckling during the game, but they're not going to let him sue the. That's one of those things where they may say, "Yeah, we don't think so either," but we're not giving you money.
Brooklyn Mike says best fans in the world. You suck. Your fans.
Are you talking about Knicks fans?
Knicks fans.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, Knicks fans are a little full of themselves. Well, I think in general, New York fans are really, really good.
How are you going to be full of yourself when you haven't won since 1973?
And that's the problem.
That's the thing.
They still are.
Yeah. How are you going to be full of yourself?
That's the problem.
I can see being excited about it, but don't be a-hole about it.
Yeah.
Be excited about your team. That's great. But when you start beating on other people. The other team's fans and stuff. It's crazy. I mean, but you got to outdo. We got to outdo Philadelphia. Philadelphia was yelling at that Green Bay Packers girl, right? That guy.
That was one guy. He was terrible. And all
he's typical. And frankly, of Philadelphia fans.
Most of the Eagles fans, thankfully, spoke out against that guy. Most of them online were pretty negative about him.
Except there's a lot of a-hole Philadelphia.
Yeah,
fans.
No, there are, but it's because they buy into their own hype, like they think they've got.
Yeah,
we got to
outdo.
I think the Knicks fans are pretty much just like that, but the younger Knicks fans, they think they have to be like they have to live up to some kind of certain standard, probably. But in general, the New York fans are pretty good about really getting by. Like their sports talk, they would hate this show. Too much foolishness. They want to straight down the fairway, Charlie Polillo-style hardcore sports talk when you're bashing on your local players some and going after coaches, and that's what their sports talk is. Don't be coming with this foolishness.
Well, that's because Charlie's from New York.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He does sports talk like New York sports talk.
That's right. Like sports talk should be done.
Like the way it's supposed to be. Not like this.
Yeah.
I mean, Hall of Fame.
Girls, stop.
You think that's all they're about? You think the Knicks fans who roll into the street to do their man on the street bits are not about foolishness?
That man on the street bit.
So, KD, don't you regret not coming to the Knicks? Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks?
You think that guy is a bitch?
And you can only do one because everything is okay, earphones but not earmuffs. I'm going to say Nick. They're saying suck my Nick on there. Yeah. And then girls are saying things that are way worse about things they don't have on their
bodies.
They
do bodies. The bing bong, though.
Yeah.
Bing bong.
They'll do the bing bong stuff a little bit. But I had to explain to my wife, when we were in the subway before we got food poisoning, and all of a sudden it stopped at whatever, 43rd, and it goes, or 42nd, and it goes, bong, bong. And I said, bing bong. And she goes, she just kind of laughed. I said, you don't know about bing bong, do you? She goes, no, what does that mean? I said, I don't know. It happened a couple years ago where the subway noise of bing bong somehow entered the sports fans' lexicons, and it took over everything. And there's one guy doing it nonstop now. Do you know who that is? Jerry O'Connell. You know who Jerry O'Connell is, Dale, I'm sure. John, you would know him if you saw him. He's an actor who used to be in a lot of stuff when he was younger, and he's still in some stuff. You can go find a video of Jerry O'Connell going after one of the guys from Barstool. Like, he does stuff at Barstool parties, too. I think he's just friends with some of those guys. And there's some Boston Celtic fan in there who always saw it. He was, like, so dismissive of
Dave
the
Portnoy?
Knicks. No. Some other guy.
Oh, a different Celtic guy.
Different Celtic guy.
With Barstool, yeah, okay.
I mean, because they did get started in Boston. And he, all Jerry O'Connell is just does, bing bong, bing bong, bing bong, bing bong, bing. Everything he does is about bing bong. And that, and but that's the, I don't know. John, have you heard this? Did you hear this a couple years ago?
No, that's the first time hearing
so
about
Knicks
bing bong.
Fans, so Yankees fans were doing it all the time. Bing bong, bing bong. And it would be on the radio, and it took over the whole city a couple years ago. It was a whole, if there's somebody from New York or a fan who wants to call in and talk about it, 713-780-3776. But yeah, it was a whole thing, this bing bong, but it's a very specific sound to the subway. If you're on a subway, you hear it, you're like, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You hear it all the freaking time.
Yeah.
Every stop, bing bong.
I'm going to have to do that to Frankie. Bing bong, bing
yeah.
bong.
She might know it, but she's more likely to know it if you called her a big back.
I'll ask her. Are you a big back girl?
She said, do you even have enough money for big back behavior in New York?
She doesn't have that kind of money.
Big back money? No.
She ain't.
Although you can't get two slices of pizza and a can of Coke for $4 at some point.
You can. You can if you want to eat that. I wouldn't. I don't suggest it.
You're against a slice? You're against the slice?
I don't like New York pizza. It's stupid.
What a review.
It's New York pizza. It's stupid.
I don't know if I've ever heard a food review that involves the intelligence of the food. That's stupid. It's usually taste, savory, sweet, too salty.
It's an inanimate object.
It's too stupid to
but
eat.
But it's intelligence
it's
beneath
stupid.
Him.
It's
You're too stupid to eat New York yeah. pizza.
No, it's not 5 inches deep. It can't
not,
be a real
no,
pizza unless
long,
you have
it's,
whole
you
stewed
gotta,
tomatoes
no.
on top.
Squares, little squares, thin crust. That's pizza. Get out of here with your stupid New York pizza. Time to talk right now about somebody who's smart, and that's HRMP. HRMP, Mike Holley, has developed technology that is, it is, I'm telling you, around the payroll world, boy, they want this technology. They love what Mike Holley has done. It is, it's flawless. It is awesome. We love it. And here's the deal, is it is saving money for companies throughout the city of Houston and throughout the world. Okay, so you say, well, I can't use HRMP because we have offices, branches in other states. That's not a problem. It is. There is no problem for HRMP. There is zero problem. Any kind of issue that you think you have that HRMP couldn't handle, you're wrong. Because HRMP can handle every issue that you have. And we got commission, hourly, we got salaries, we got salary and commission. I mean, it's not a problem. It is not a problem. You're looking for the best way to get that payroll to your people. HRMP does it, and they just do it better, and they're going to save you money. The bottom line is the bottom line. Get with it. Let HRMP make your life a lot easier and put money to the bottom line. HRP.net. If you're somebody that's doing it yourself or you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Yeah, I was just looking through the Astros taking on Seattle tonight. Got George Kirby going tonight, making his first start of the year.
Yeah, but he's a killer when he's on.
He's an ass kicker for the Astros. He had a 1.5 last year against them. He had a 0.71 against them the year before.
Yeah.
He's a
But it's his first start of the year, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's his first start, but for whatever reason he loves to pitch against the Astros.
Isn't he famous for, well, not famous, but isn't he known for some thing you never do as a professional athlete? Did he not quit or beg out of something? He talked about it, and it became a storyline. I don't remember what it was. Huh. It had to do with, I don't know.
There was something.
I can't remember what he said, and there was, hey, you can't talk like that. I can't remember what it was, though.
Yeah.
Did he ask to leave the game?
Or did he ask out?
He said he didn't want
to. And then Scott Servais had to talk about it. Yeah. Scott Servais had to come to his defense, and, you know, the guys were not too pleased with him.
Here it is. In the post-game interview after the Mariners lost to Tampa Bay on September 8th, 2023, George Kirby expressed his desire not to be on the mound for the seventh inning. He stated he was at 90 pitches and didn't believe he could continue. However, he was sent back out and gave up a two-run homer tying the game. Kirby later acknowledged his post-game comments were super uncharacteristic of him as a competitor. That's right. It made him sound like he was a non-competitor. Like, hey, I was at 90. I didn't want to go out. Like, I didn't even want to go out there. I was already at 90. Dude, most guys are begging to – they're pissed because they want to go 110. They want to go as deep as they can. That was – he's still a good pitcher.
But yeah.
Yeah, that was – that's right. That was him. You're right.
So if the Astros lose to that soft dude, we got problems.
Oh, well, they lose to him all the time.
Well, we got problems.
We got problems. So, yeah. So, we got some problems.
Soft dude behavior.
Yeah.
Unlike soft boy behavior earlier in the week.
Soft dude behavior.
Yep. Yeah, Michael agrees with me. New York's pizza, get out of here with that. Thin crust pizza, cut in squares, it's what it's all about. Thank you.
You know what? I actually like both.
Yeah, I can like both.
I can eat both. I don't have to say somebody's pizza lacks intelligence. What a dumb pizza that is. What an idiotic pizza that New York slice is.
I didn't call it dumb.
You said
it's stupid.
It's stupid. He did say stupid, not dumb.
That pizza is stupid.
I didn't know it took an IQ test. I just want to eat.
Yeah. You gotta.
It's fine. I mean, pizza is pretty good no matter what. If you run into a bad pizza,
they're trying hard to make a bad pizza. Terribly. I had a meat pizza slice, and it was great. And I went for a second one, and I'm like, and my wife was making fun of me, like, what are you doing? And I got, I know you're going to say it.
Did you order an artisan pizza?
It's one of these things. Well, you know, I didn't get just a regular slice. I got one of these, like, it's got a little thicker crust, and it's a spinach artichoke heart dip pizza.
Doing?
Like, how stupid is that?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I don't even know. I totally choked. I would never order that in any – I don't know.
You were in New York and thought, let's do something different.
Yeah, what am I – I deserve to get whatever that was, Listeria or whatever I got.
You think you got it from your artichoke pizza?
No, I didn't because Nicole didn't have a single bite of that, and she got it worse than I did.
Yeah. Maybe it's the eating the raw kangaroo shipped from Australia.
It could have been the roux.
Yeah, perhaps. That's the mistake you made.
It's possible.
Forget about the artichoke dip pizza you ate.
Or the pizza place in the back kitchen was handling chicken next to some stuff they shouldn't have. That's always possible, too.
Sure. I don't know the restaurant, so it's not me ripping it. I'm going to go with you eating
raw. Because the restaurant's a pretty accomplished restaurant.
Raw kangaroo from Australia.
It's possible.
Unless they have a farm in upstate New York that they get it from.
There's kangaroo farms all over the place. I see them out in Angleton all the time. Just bunch of roos running around.
When you're going to see Craig the Surf, you see a bunch of...
You see kangaroos all over the place.
Oh, down south?
Yeah, it's the further south you go, Angleton, Victoria, right. Tons, Port Aransas, tons of kangaroos over there.
I didn't know that, huh?
Yeah, you've probably never been there.
Well, that's right in his hood.
Well, I'm south of here, and I've never seen a kangaroo.
You got to keep going further south.
To Galveston? Bolivar?
Yeah, if you go – well, they were kicked off of Bolivar.
Oh, the kangaroos no longer can roam Bolivar?
They were kicked off the peninsula.
Yeah. That's sad for the roos, as you say.
Yeah. Well, they start kicking your ass. Roo can kick your ass.
I tell you, man, kangaroo videos are one of those things on YouTube where you can get in a rabbit hole real quick.
You can't stop.
I mean, John, you're speaking. If roos will kick your ass means you've been in a rabbit hole.
Yep.
You cannot stop. If you start – If you click the ones on the right-hand side, you might also like this kangaroo video where he's got the dog in the headlock. I'm like, yeah. All right. And then the man punches him. We've all seen that one.
We've seen that one.
Have you ever seen the two kangaroos fighting on in somebody's backyard and they're like falling across the table? It is a nasty fight. Then a kangaroo running to attack a man and him and somebody else are fighting the kangaroo. I'm telling you, you can't give an ADD person a kangaroo rabbit hole.
No,
you
I can't
do
that.
It.
We can't even start that conversation.
Can't even start looking. Exactly.
When you should go to break. Because John Chill is coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, we're talking about Billy Brown. And we're talking about Aqueduct Plumbing. And we're talking about you not being stupid. 281-488-6238. You have to put this number in your phone. And just put it in plumbing. Because I know something is going to come up. Something it always comes up. Where you need that number immediately, and you got to have that number, 281-488-6238. Suppose, okay, you could put in aqueductplumbingcompany.com, but suppose you're where you don't have any Wi-Fi and there's no service. Then what? Then you're screwed. But you got the number in the phone, 281-488-6238. Right, Lance?
John said it all, aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.